So we're going to jump back on the narrow road. Last week we had Amazing Life. Who all was here for Amazing Life? Wasn't it fun? It was like a party up in here. Club Jesus. So Pastor kicked off the series with Narrow Road. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, please go and watch it. Not right now, not right this minute, but because I want you to watch me. But anyway, so the Narrow Road, if you've been a believer for any sort of time, you're not new to the image of the Narrow Road or the story of the Narrow Road or the Narrow Gate. It's something that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount. And it's based off the scripture, Matthew 7:13-14. And it says, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it." So like I said, if you've been a believer for any amount of time, you're familiar with this scripture. You are familiar with the analogy of the narrow road versus the broad road. I remember when I was younger seeing paintings and images of, you know, this really broad like highway, and people just like droves of people just following it and like basically falling off the cliff into hell. And then like on the other side, it's this really narrow, like almost single file, and the end is Jesus or the end is heaven. So it's something that's been talked about, you know, quite a bit by a lot of people. Today we're going to talk about what it represents and why the narrow road or the narrow gate is so important. So with all of our knowledge of hearing this story, some of these you'll be aware of, right? But you've heard it before. So the narrow road is a representation of holiness or holy living. You know, being set apart. As Christians, we should be set apart from the majority. We're in the world but not of the world. So the narrow road is a representation of how we should live our life on earth. And in doing so, the road is harder because we're not able to just do what we want to do. We look at it as a way, we have to make sacrifices in our life to follow Jesus. Most people are going to choose the easy road. That's the obvious one. It's smooth, right? But always taking the smooth road, the easy road, it leaves you unchanged. But tension causes growth. A challenge stretches you, and it shows you what you're made of, and you realize what you lack. On the easy road, you don't recognize your need for a savior. You don't recognize how dependent we have to be as followers of Jesus. You especially don't realize your need for a savior past your heavenly insurance policy. You know, you're like, you know, "God, thank you for saving me. I'm not going to hell, but I got it from here." A lot of us do that. A lot of us, the story of us as believers, it stops with salvation. And there's so much more. Life with Jesus is so much more than just salvation. And most of you know that. Your choice to be a believer carries through the rest of your life. Not just at that moment, but it encompasses all of it, the whole journey. We also see the visual of the narrow road is us learning how to travel light. And like I said, if you didn't hear Pastor's message last week, he talked a lot about this. He had the Amazon packages and the luggage and the build a little gate. I mean, he really is the king of like visual aids and props. You know, one day I'll be like him when I grow up. But it's a visual for learning to travel light, you know, not carrying baggage. When we think of baggage, or we think of carrying baggage on a narrow road, you know, the road is uneven. It leans. It could be treacherous. It's a less smooth way of travel. So it's not easy. So when you navigate a road like this, you need your arms empty because you may need your arms to climb or to navigate the terrain. Baggage fills your much-needed appendages with unnecessary weight and mobility restrictions. On the treacherous road, on the narrow road, carrying more than necessary is detrimental to your ability to travel. And when it comes to baggage, I mean, it could represent material things or stuff, but it may not. It could represent a lot of things. Any comfort that you have in your life could become baggage because you feel like you can't live without it. You've made it a part of your identity, and you feel like you have to carry it with you the whole length of the journey. So it could be stuff, but it could be pain from a trauma you experienced. You've made it part of yourself because you didn't know what to do with it. So now it's become a part of you. So you can't travel. It's kind of like your favorite pillow. How many people, when you go on vacation, you have to bring your own pillow, right? I hate hotel pillows. But we carry our trauma. We carry that around like baggage, like our favorite pillow that we have to bring with us everywhere we go. It could be your personality. You know, a lot of times we hide behind our personality. Personality tests and stuff are great, but a lot of times it becomes an excuse for our actions and not changing. And Jesus is all of that to us. So we put ourselves in a box, and we wear our personalities like our favorite sweatshirt. We can't travel without it. We got to bring it along. Baggage could be anything that limits you from the adventure that is life with Jesus. Anything. We need our hands free if we want to behold what he wants us to. So those are a couple of visuals of the narrow road. Because we think about the road itself and we think of like what it's lacking, you know. We base it around what we carry. But what if the visual of the narrow road is more about having a narrow singular vision and focus? Not about reacting to the terrain, but being proactive toward the destination, which is Jesus. We should always have our eyes on Jesus. What if Jesus is the narrow gate? Too often we let our terrain dictate our course instead of zeroing in on our destination and just going after it. No matter the terrain, no matter the treachery, the prize is worth the journey. So if we say Jesus is the narrow gate, maybe he's wanting your focus to be on him, and everything that falls outside of that needs to be trimmed away. It's like trimming your peripheral vision to where your focus is on the one and only. It's not about what you have to give up, because we typically, when it comes to the narrow road, we look at our feet. We look what we can or can't carry with us. What kind of comforts can I bring with us? But it's about beholding and realizing that Jesus is enough and letting everything else fall along the wayside. Jesus is worth the journey. He's worth it. He's worth it. Tammy, he's worth it. He's worth whatever treachery we may face. He is worth it. Bob, he's worth the journey. Jesus is worth the journey. Jason, Jesus is worth it. He's worth it. He's worth it. Can we just take a moment? That whole worship set was all about honoring Jesus and worshiping Jesus. Can we just take a moment and close our eyes and lift our hands and just tell Jesus how much he's worth it to us? Can we do that for just a second? Oh, Jesus. You're so worth it, God. You're so worth it, God. We honor you, God. We couldn't do anything apart from you, God. You're so holy. You're so worthy. Come on, tell him. Tell him how you feel about him. Is he worth it? Then you'll be able to say it. We honor you, Jesus. We thank you, God. You're so worth it. You're so worth it. In our minds as believers, when we hear the narrow road, it has like a negative connotation, because we immediately think about what we have to give up in this life. You know, we look at what our neighbors get to do, what they have, what they get to carry with them on the journey. No one's telling them that they can't bring that. We tend to compare. So we start to evaluate if this path of following Jesus is worth it. We need to start looking at the path as more of a narrow vision or tunnel vision when we see the prize and nothing else matters. It's keeping our eyes on Jesus on a day in and day out. We need to learn how to behold Jesus throughout our journey and never lose sight of him. I'm going to put a picture on the screen. So we have Times Square up there. We're all pretty familiar with Times Square. If you've never been to Times Square, I'm sure you've seen it on TV or something like that. So for my illustration, I mean, I didn't build a gate or anything, but I'm going to use Times Square to represent the road, okay? And you'll see, I mean, there's really no better example of a broad road or one that has so much traffic than something like Times Square, the hustle and bustle of Times Square. So, I mean, they got shows, they have entertainment, they've got places to eat. I think I see a hot dog stand, there's a TGI Fridays, McDonald's. But it represents people on the road, and they're all stopping, and they're all doing things. Somebody's getting tickets from Mamma Mia or something. I don't know. I don't know who this picture is. But a lot of times, this is how we live our life. There's so many distractions. I mean, it may not be to the extent of this, but sometimes it feels that way, right? We feel like we have so much going on. There's so many things that can pull us away from looking at Jesus. And most of us don't even see Jesus in this at all. But he's there. So if you'll go to the next screen, just kind of targeted him a little bit. So you see Jesus is there. If this represents our day in and day life, day in and day out lifestyle, he's there. We just need to look toward him, right? He never leaves us or forsakes us. But he's also a gentleman. He doesn't shout. He doesn't shout in a room full of people. He wants, the choice is yours to go after him. So let's go to the next one. So this one, the same picture, we just kind of faded away some of the distractions. So you should be able to see Jesus pretty clearly now, right? Except he's really tiny. So go to the next one. All right. And don't judge me for this picture of Jesus. I just picked one. I know Jesus isn't white. So this is how it should be in your daily life. You should wake up and you should see Jesus. I know some of you think this illustration is silly, but it really clicked with me. We should see Jesus every day and we should look for him. He's not hard to find if we look for him. And he calls us to follow him. So what better way to follow him if we see life like this and not with everything else around it? We need to learn how to trim our visuals, trim our peripherals so all we see is Jesus. I'm not going to stop for a hot dog at the hot dog stand because I don't see the hot dog stand, right? I'm not going to try to quit following Jesus and go catch a show because, oh, that'll be fun. That'll be something to remember because it's not where he wants me to go. The narrow road is a priority shift in putting Jesus at the center, first and foremost. You know, a lot of times when we're on, like, vacation, we're quicker to advertise entertainment on the journey rather than the destination. You know, we want to get souvenirs, right, to different things on the road. But souvenirs can become baggage. So you're a souvenir is something that helps you, like a token to remember something that happened. So a lot of times we do that with some of the emotional stuff that we go through. We make souvenirs that we want to carry with us, and Jesus is saying, you don't need that on this trip. Set that down. You don't need that. I have everything that you need. When your focus is narrowed, things outside of that focus fall away. You don't realize their insignificance until you live life not chasing them. Narrow roads also prevent turning around. So if you know in the back of your head that the road is about to get real narrow and it's going to be hard, I'm going to get my shoes muddy. Then you may decide to turn around. When difficulty comes, you'll be tempted to choose a different path or change the path altogether. You'll be tempted not to press on. But when your focus is on Jesus and Jesus alone, you don't care what the path looks like. You don't care how hard it is. You know, the path isn't easy. I mean, how many people have gone through a pretty rough patch lately with anything, whether it's health or job, any of that? It's hard. Life sucks sometimes. But don't be tempted to change paths. Stay on the path that has Jesus as the center. Now, we see a really good example of this in the Bible, and it's with Peter walking on the water. And we all know the story, but I'm gonna read it. It's in Matthew 14. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why do you doubt me?" He took his eyes off the narrow gate. He took his eyes off the destination. He started paying attention to the wind and the waves. You know, he saw the fish under his feet. It's kind of like in Times Square. He saw the hot dog. He's like, "I'm going to get a hot dog." And he lost sight of Jesus and what Jesus was for him in that moment. And he began to fall. He began to falter. His path changed. Jesus is the narrow road. He is the narrow gate. He needs to stay in the center of our vision. When you wake up in the morning, you should look to Jesus. "Jesus, what do you want me to do today? What's your plan today? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to?" We should care about what Jesus wants us to do because he's worth it, right? If we feel like he is worth it, then we're willing to give our life for him if he's worth it. So Jesus is the narrow gate. He is the blueprint in which we live our life. Now I'm going to read the same scripture that I read at the beginning about the narrow gate, but I'm going to read the scriptures around it because I think it's important. So it's about 12 scriptures, so just bear with me here. "Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and the gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you identify a tree as its by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a rock.'" Jesus is giving us the example or the blueprint here for right living. And we've heard all of those scriptures, and a lot of times we teach them as separate lessons. So the first one you have is what we kind of call the golden rule, you know. It's about how you treat people. And then we have the narrow gate, and then it talks about the tree and producing fruit. And then it talks about how you know as true disciples, by they bear fruit. Some will wield gifts, but they don't bear good fruit, so you know they're false prophets. There's a reason why Jesus does this. It's all connected. It's all connected. The narrow gate, the narrow road, it matters how you treat people. It matters how you produce fruit. All of that is interwoven and connected. Gifts are flashy. They're attractive. And more people are going to choose those things. They're going to choose the gifts because they're flashy. And there are going to be plenty of people on the broad road that carry gifts. Right? So Jesus said, you'll know who's really a follower of me by the fruit they bear. Fruit is greater than gifts when it comes to the kingdom. I know it's not easy because we like the healings and we like all the power that comes with it. But it's better for you to produce good fruit on your journey than it is for you to carry a gift. Gifts are baggage, or can be baggage. How you treat people has more to do with the fruit than the gifts that you wield. And think of it this way. You carry a gift, but you produce fruit. It comes from you through a cultivated lifestyle. Gifts imply instant gratification, but fruit implies working through process. Ooh, process. We turn our nose up at that word sometimes. If you're turned off by process, just know God works through process most every time. Almost every time when it comes to growth, he works through process because tension causes growth. And if you turn your nose up at process, you could be turning up your nose on how God likes to operate. So just be careful there. But it's all connected. You know, we teach the golden rule as a separate lesson. We've heard the narrow road or the narrow gate, you know, as separate lesson, producing fruit, and they can stand on their own. But when you read them together, and that's one thing that Holy Spirit showed me, is that there's a reason why he put the golden rule by the narrow gate. There's a reason why he talks about the importance of bearing fruit by the narrow gate. It's all connected. So I would encourage you this week to read that for yourself. Read through that and let Holy Spirit open your eyes to the things. The narrow road is less about stuff and more about reflecting Jesus to all you meet because Jesus is all you seek. The connections, relationships, influence around you matters. Following Jesus isn't about alienating yourself. It's not about traveling on the road by yourself. It's about making the Father known through the Son, through your daily life. And it's easy to do that. If all you see is Jesus, that's all you're going to say. That's all you're going to think. That's all you're going to act upon. Right? So keeping your focus is key. He is the narrow gate. So if I can get someone to play the keys, I'm going to close this out here. So Jesus is the narrow gate. He's our focus. He's our blueprint of how we build our life. If you want your house built correctly, then you have to have, from the foundation up, you have to, like, study the blueprints, right? You're constantly checking the blueprints, and then you actively build. And then you constantly check the blueprints, and then you actively build. It's when we start to lose sight of those blueprints of Jesus that we start to build our own stuff, our own kingdoms, our own life. And it's not a firm foundation when we do that. I mean, he gives us the ability to be creative, but our structure has to be a direct reflection of the blueprints. He is the blueprint. Our life should be a carbon copy of him. And if we want it built correctly, then we have to refer back to the blueprints. I know I'm saying it over and over, but someone really needs to get that. Because we have a lot of casual Christians in this world, you know. I had our River Circle the other night at our house, and in conversation we were talking about the woman with the issue of blood and how she pressed in and touched Jesus, and Jesus was like, "Who touched me?" You know? And something that stuck out to me was the disciples were like, "A lot of people touched you." And then how my brain works, I was overanalyzing, of course. But I was thinking about, like, if that happened today, like, there would be a ton of people who call themselves Christians that wanted to go touch Jesus because it was the cool thing to do. Oh, I got to touch Jesus. And I know not everywhere it's cool to be a Christian, but in some circles it is cool to be a Christian. So it made me think of how many people were there that were touching Jesus just so they can say they got to touch Jesus. Maybe they got a souvenir. But it was for the wrong motives. They weren't touching him to be healed by him. You know, only the woman with the issue knew that he was the narrow gate. He was the only way. He was the only way to life. So she pressed through. And Jesus knew that. Jesus can tell. You know, there's going to be a lot of Christians on the broad road, people who call themselves Christians. Jesus is the blueprint for our life. It's not about just being saved from hell. It's truly following him. It's waking up every day and seeing where he is and going after him. And I don't care if the road is paved, muddy, icy, or if there's no road and we have to blaze a trail. I want to go where Jesus wants me to go. He is the blueprint. He is the narrow gate to which I live my life. Now, is there anyone in the room that they feel the same way? You've been living your life as a Christian and mostly name only, but you don't feel like you've really given all you got. And you want Jesus, you want to go after the narrow gate. So if you would just stand, if that's you, if you're saying, or maybe you're just saying, you know, I mean, we can all do better, obviously, but we want to chase after Jesus no matter what that looks like. And we're willing to go wherever he wants us to go. The same way anymore. They don't want to be distracted on the broad road. They want to truly follow after you and chase after you and give everything to you because you are worth it. You are worth it. Help them never to lose sight of how worth it you are. And you are truly the only one who is worth it. We thank you, God.